Hi, this is Ilka Cassidy with Passive House Accelerator, and thanks for tuning in to this special bonus episode of the Passive House podcast recorded at the International Passive House Conference 24 in Innsbruck, Austria. And a big thank you to Source 2050 for their support of the series. In this interview, Claire Perry shares how the development of a playbook helps communicate the Passive House process in Australia. So welcome to the podcast, Claire Perry.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah, you're coming all the way, or you came all the way from Australia, which is a pretty long way to come.
Yeah.
And it's just been amazing being here at the conference, hearing all the languages and talking to all these people coming basically from all over the world. And to reference back to our keynote speech, and I interviewed Diana Erger-Vorsatz yesterday, and we talked a little bit about her reference towards the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and finding the, you know, the solution to it all, the 42. And it just made me think a little bit that, being here, it's actually not us traveling through the galaxy and meeting all these different cultures, I guess, but people from across the world are coming here and sharing how they spread the word, how they translate basically the Passive House principles or ideas across the world. So I would like to hear a little bit more about how that works in Australia. But first, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm the Director of Sustainability for Development Victoria, which is a state government development agency for the state of Victoria in Australia. And I work across our development portfolio to improve the sustainability in many, many different ways. And Passive House, to me, is one of those key ways in which we can start to build better.
So it's the 42.
I think it is, yeah. I've only been in government for 3 years, but across my whole career, it's a solution that I keep coming back to, and I've not found a better one, to be honest.
Great. And how is that viewed across Australia?
It's got its niche, definitely, but it's also, I'm sure, and this is something I've heard from almost every presenter, is that in every culture, in every country, in every industry, there are those that think it's too stringent, there's always a bit of hesitancy and distrust of something that looks like a new brand or, you know, a new commercialization of something, but we have to keep coming back to the science. Our building code for decades was pretty poor, but I think all the ingredients are now starting to come into the code, looking at ventilation properly, looking at insulation and thermal bridges properly. We can see climate change impacting our buildings in different ways, extreme heat, bushfires. We have to deal with this whole wealth of challenges. So I think there's a new view around solutions like this. And I think this one, that's a Passive House, is definitely getting a lot more traction in the last few years.
So what part of Passive House is gaining traction? Because it's, you know, it came out of Northern European climate zones, which is, you know, heating dominated, which in Australia is, you know, most of the country is probably mostly cooling dominated. Is that correct?
It's we've got a bit pretty big variation, but I think, yeah, predominantly where most people live, most of the population is probably driven by cooling to a large degree. And I'd say that, you know, it's about that peak cooling load. In actual fact, even in Melbourne, for most of the year we are heating. So for 80% of the year we're heating, but the load isn't so great. But yeah, it's that cooling load that we get in summer when we get, you know, 45 degrees on a hot day. And I think it's that comfort and the health that are really sort of hitting home.
Yeah, and I guess what I hear a lot about is the bushfires.
Yeah.
So it's probably the air quality. So securing better air quality on the inside of the buildings is probably a big factor why people would like Passive House or adopt Passive House.
Yeah, we do have those. As soon as one of those events happens, it becomes sharp in everyone's mind what a solution could look like. But unfortunately, those things come and go. Well, fortunately, actually, but yeah. The presence in the front of mind is that those solutions don't necessarily make part of that decision making.
So what do you do to communicate Passive House a little bit better and teach people about it?
I've come to the conclusion after, you know, 15, 20 years of speaking Passive House that you have to know every audience that you're speaking to. There's no singular way to communicate it. You know, there's one for home buyers, one for low-income home buyers. There's one for government stakeholders, education. Making it connecting to their objectives is always the key thing. You know, for schools, that might be student results. For homeowners, that might be not having to pay for energy and operate heating and cooling all the time.
Yeah.
The stories have to be multifaceted, which I think is okay. We just have to realize that there's no one solution.
Yeah. So you've been working on a very specific way to communicate Passive House and Passive House principles to all these different audiences. And you call it the playbook. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the playbook was a result of a piece of work. So we do a lot of commercial size buildings, you know, where they're multifamily, office buildings, galleries. And so we approached one project with this concept that if we could define the process and unpack why we weren't getting a Passive House outcome, even when we wanted one on other projects, and start from scratch, start with a blank sheet and ask the key contributors to the project why, what wasn't working, or if we had this outcome in mind, how would we get there in an ideal scenario? So we did that for a particular project, and at the end of that process, both our consultant and myself, we just thought, you know, we'd done so much great work, why not publish it? Why not make it available to anybody who might have this same outcome in mind? And really the key question was, given how much, I guess, great intent, enthusiasm, how much understanding there was of the Passive House standard in Australia, why were we still not getting all those buildings hitting the ground like we're seeing in Europe and North America? And so the playbook was the outcome, and it steps through a process quite well targeted towards commercial projects that just seeks to advise them on how, with that outcome in mind, they should approach a project with, you know, the right funding, with the right time, with the right people in the room, and really the right collaborative mindset up front, which I think was one of the key things.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. I mean, especially, yeah, laying out that it has to be collaborative and that everyone has to be engaged, setting expectations, I think is really important. But I think what you just said about asking everyone who was involved, getting their feedback is really key to this, because I feel like sometimes I'm an architect, so it's kind of easy to look at things in a certain way, but not necessarily always consider what it's like to live through a renovation in place, or, you know, how it feels like as the occupant. So it's really good to get feedback that way, and then incorporating in that into something like a playbook is a great idea.
Yeah, and having been through so many projects where we'd get to a certain point in the project and Passive House was always kept as an option or approached as an option, and that option would always get, you know, value managed out, or it always looked too hard. A business as usual always had this great attraction of being safe and affordable, and, you know, for all these other reasons, everybody knew what it looked like. So having gone through that dozens of times, we're really desperate to understand, like, how do we stop this happening? And this was the result of that.
And then you laid out certain steps in the in the playbook. It's very structured. Can you talk us through those?
Sure, yeah. So it's designed to be a loop, but, you know, to start from the logical place in that loop, setting up the project for success at the start is key. So having that explicit ambition that what you want is a Passive House building. You don't want a normal building, and you don't want to see what Passive House might look like if you modified it. You actually want a Passive House. To get the right finance, to get the right time in the right parts of the program for delivering that building, to have those collaborative contributors around the table at all the right times in that process. So those are roughly the first 4 to 5 steps in that. And the key thing we actually also identify is what these approaches unlock in those stages. So as opposed to what we call the business as usual approach, we've identified that approaching it in the way that we've proposed unlocks certain activities or certain outcomes. And then following that around through to delivery and construction, it's about exploring through your supply chain, you know, whether you've got the right skill sets, the right trades. Knowing that up front can help you to get the right solutions on the page for what you're proposing to deliver. And sometimes you can adapt. Sometimes you know you have to import products. Knowing, you know, for example, as a government agency, do we need to invest in trades training? If we know that we can't find it in the supply chain, do we go out there and preemptively invest in getting more people trained up, whether it's fully to passive house trades or in the certain component skill sets? Quality control on site, certification, being able to tell all the stories of what the process, whether it was successful or not, what we would do differently next time. It is meant to be fully iterative. You know, maybe the playbook might be updated if we learn a lot through this, you know, implementation phase. And then being able to feed that back in and feed it throughout the industry. I think one thing that having been exposed to the passive house sector, coming to international conferences, going to the US conferences over 15 years, I love the stories that we tell about successes, about failures, about, yeah, you know, about the fun that we've had trying to put these things on the ground. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. No, that's really important to share everything we've learned. And then talking about sharing, you're sharing the playbook as well, correct?
Yeah, it's published. It's actually readily available through the Australian Passive House Association website. So it should be pretty prominently displayed on that website and anyone can download it.
Great. And then you, as you said, it's a loop, so it might get updated once.
Updated, even just case studies that we could append. It's meant to be a living document. Happy for anyone to tell us what we might have got wrong, what we could improve. Happy to update that.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.